The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, Merry Christmas! Today is the fifth day of Christmas, five golden rings if you're counting. Jesus is born, and while we may still envision him in the manger, we're 5 days later. And if you have had any experience with babies, you know it's likely been a rough 5 days for Mary and Joseph as Jesus has settled into being in the world. But to my brain, he is still that tiny baby in the manger. We're still waiting the visit of the wise men. We're still reading the Christmas letters we received. Maybe we're still eating the leftovers, still cleaning up. Christ is born. The singing continues, the joy, the hope, the peace, the love. Matthew reminds us over and over that Jesus came to fulfill God's promises through the prophets. Everything has changed. The world has changed. But it's hard to give up that sweet little baby in the manger for the real life of diapers and night feedings and exhaustion. Emmanuel is here, God with us now. But what difference has Jesus' birth made for you, for me, for us? How do we live in this world with God right here, right now with us? When we lived in China and Trinidad, we had to have a go bag with us in case we had to leave the country suddenly. And we do the same kind of thing here when there's a hurricane coming, right? You kind of get everything packed up together, ready to go, put it by the door. You put in the things you think you might need if you decide to leave town. Some money, maybe some clothing, water, flashlight, batteries, all that stuff that you take. And then you put it carefully by the door or in the car, just in case. Our reading today starts in the middle of the story. Next week we'll get kind of the first part, really, of it with the wise men. But it's important for us to know today that the wise men came looking for the baby who was born king of the Jews. And they came to Jerusalem, and Herod heard about it. King Herod, and he was concerned, upset, troubled, disturbed, and the whole town got upset. I mean, when Herod gets upset, everybody gets upset. So he called the Magi to come to a nice tea or coffee party with him and sit down, and he quizzed them about what they knew, and then he made his own little plans for this baby. He sent them off to find him and come back and tell him where the baby was. the Magi do make it to see Jesus, and they leave, although they don't go back to Herod. And that very night, an angel comes to Joseph in a dream. Now, usually when the angels come, they say, "Be not afraid." But this time, the angel doesn't say that. In fact, you can almost hear the angel go, "Be afraid. Be very afraid. Get up right now, take the child, his mother, and head to Egypt. Right now, middle of the night. Don't care." And Joseph, you can see him waking Mary awake. She's tired. "What? What? We got to leave. What? Now? It's dangerous to travel at night. No, we have to go right now." "Well, how long?" "I don't know how long. Take what you think we'll need for the first few days." And they stuff and stuff in a bag, and they head out onto the road, and away they go. And it's not until they've traveled some way that Joseph actually has time to explain everything that's happened, while Mary tries to take it all in. Matthew ties this incident in Jesus' life to a couple of people in the Old Testament: Joseph, son of Jacob, and Moses. Now, Joseph, son of Jacob, is the one from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, if you know that one. He was born to a woman, and he had an ability to interpret. He had dreams, but he also had an ability to interpret them. Because of that, his brothers became jealous and sold him into slavery in Egypt. So he's sent to Egypt, where he's a slave. He starts doing really well in the house of his owner, and he gets promoted up and up until his owner's wife accuses him of a crime, and he's sent to prison. Well, he starts to work his way up in the prison system, and Pharaoh hears about it. And Pharaoh's having some bad dreams, so Pharaoh asks for Joseph, who interprets his dreams and becomes second in command of all of Egypt. Only Pharaoh has more power than Joseph. Now, Joseph's brothers come to Egypt because there's a famine and they're starving, so they come to get some food, and they don't recognize Joseph. I mean, it's been 17 years. He was kind of young when they sold him, and he looks a lot different now, and he's all dressed nice. So they don't know him. Finally, he reveals himself, and in doing all of this, he saves his family from starvation. Fast forward about 400 years, and we get the other Old Testament character, Moses. Now, at the time that Moses is born, the Jewish people have been living in Egypt for quite a while, and they're getting very numerous. So numerous, in fact, that Pharaoh's concerned that they might take over the whole country. So Pharaoh decides, in his great wisdom, that the best thing to do is to kill all the baby boys. Moses' mother makes a basket, puts him in it, and he floats down the river until he is found by Pharaoh's daughter, who takes him in. He lives for a while with his parents, so he knows his mother and dad, and then he moves into the palace, where he becomes an adopted son of Pharaoh, until he's accused of murder. Then he has to flee out for his life. He lives some time outside until God calls him back into Egypt to take the people out of slavery to the promised land. And so Moses saves not just his family, but the whole future nation of Israel. And then we look at Jesus, right? So Jesus comes, and we know what Jesus is going to do. He's going to save not just his family, not just the nation of Israel, but the whole world. Matthew wants to be sure we've tied all these things together. So how do we live in this world with God right here in it? When I was younger, I worked for a bank, and the fellow I worked for was an Austrian. His name was Otmar. And as we got to know each other, we would share stories of our lives, and he told me a story of his life. He was born about the time the Nazis were taking over Austria. And one of the things they would do when they would come into a village, if the village had opposed them coming in, they would kill children, particularly babies. he recounts when his mother, when he was born, a very young child, a man in the Nazi uniform burst open the door to their house, came in, and snatched up young Otmar. Otmar's mother froze what to do. But that man looked at Otmar, said to the mother, "I have a baby just this age at home. I've not seen him." And he began to cuddle Otmar, to play with him, to hold him. And then he gave him back to his mother and said, "Don't tell anyone. Keep the child quiet and you keep quiet, or I'll have to come back and finish the job." Herod waits for the Magi to come back. They don't come. He waits a day. He starts to get angry. He waits another day. He gets more angry, and still they don't come. He's infuriated. Now, Herod is a nasty piece of work. He was a great builder. He built some great things. He built the palace complex at Masada. He didn't completely rebuild, but he refurbished the temple in Jerusalem. He built a lot of things. But he was also paranoid, full of conspiracy theories for someone taking over his throne. So he killed his uncles. He killed his favorite wife, Mariamne, thinking she was conspiring against him. And he even killed three of his sons, thinking they would take over his throne. So when Herod decided that he would kill some babies, he did. He sent his men. It was just Bethlehem and the surrounding area, so it was probably less than two dozen. Not really even enough in the scheme of things at that time to make the evening news. Matthew now reminds us of Rachel. Rachel is one of the matriarchs of Israel. She is actually the mother of Joseph, we were talking about earlier, who saved his family from starvation. And she had another child, Benjamin. But as Benjamin was being born, she realized that she was dying in childbirth, and she began to weep. Later, when the children of Israel were overtaken by the Babylonians and Jerusalem was destroyed, many people died. Rachel had been buried somewhere on the road to Bethlehem, probably near the town of Ramah. And the children of Israel who were being gathered to go into captivity, to exile in Babylon, were gathered at Ramah. And so the prophet Jeremiah wrote about Rachel weeping for her children, those who had been killed in the battles, and those who were being carried off from their home to Babylon. Everything changed for those mothers in Bethlehem. The world was different, and we weep with them. How do we live in this new world with God right in it? We recently saw the movie Ad Astra. It's a space movie. I'm not going to give away too much of it. It's really good. so I'll try not to give away too much. But there's a man, Roy, whose father left when he was very young to go all the way out to the edges of our solar system to look for intelligent life out there. And he's been gone for years and years, and Roy grows up, and he goes into the space as well. And while he's there, he learns that his father may still be alive. And so he goes out to Neptune searching for his father, and he finds him. When he finds his father, he discovers that his father has, in fact, killed all the team that went with him, because they haven't found any intelligent life, and the team was wanting to return to Earth. And he didn't want to. He said, "We will not fail." And Roy tells his dad, "You haven't failed. Now we know. We're all we've got." Herod dies. Even his evil has an end. And the Jewish nobility, which he had promised to put to death on his death so that there would be true mourning, they're not put to death. One suspects Herod was not mourned much at all. And an angel again appears to Joseph and says, "It's time. You can go home. Get the child and his mother and head back." But there's more problems along the way. It turns out that Archelaus, Herod's son, is ruling in Judea. And Archelaus is not much better than Herod was, although he's not quite as bright. So they head instead to the north, up to Galilee, to Nazareth. And Jesus grows up in a little village that's not terribly well known. In a quiet place, Mary and Joseph and Jesus settle down into this unimportant little town and make themselves part of the village. Matthew reminds us that Jesus came from a specific place and a specific people, but on all the roads of Jesus' life, he met other people. In Bethlehem, there was an innkeeper with an empty manger, shepherds with watchful eyes and ears, and Simeon and Anna with open hearts. On the road, there were caravans willing to offer safety in numbers, and other travelers offering food and water, and wells along the way with signposts. And in the villages, there were folks willing to accept newcomers who have come in, strangers in our midst. There were folks who had a job for a carpenter here and there. And there were parents who were willing to share childminding and give tips to those new parents of Mary and Joseph. There were those who joined them everywhere they went. They were not alone. And more importantly, just as we saw how God prepared the way for Joseph and Moses, we see now that God was with them and prepared the way for them as well, just as God is here with us now. How do we live in this world with God in it? Over and over we read, "So it was fulfilled." So it was fulfilled that Jesus be born to the lineage of David. So it was fulfilled that he be called Emmanuel, God with us. So it was fulfilled that he be born in Bethlehem. So it was fulfilled that the Gentiles would come from afar. So it was fulfilled he was called out of Egypt. So it was fulfilled that there was weeping and crying. So it was fulfilled that he came from Nazareth. To fulfill means to bring to completion or reality. But it also means to carry out a task or a role as pledged and expected. We are believers in Christ, followers of Jesus, disciples. We are pledged, we are called to fulfill the roles and duties of a disciple. We are called to put our faith into action, to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. We are called to serve others wherever we find them. Where people are sold into slavery, where families flee danger and oppression, where babies and children are at risk, where refugees begin to resettle, where the least, the lost, the hungry, the thirsty, the sick, those in prison, those in need. We are called to be there. Wherever the children of God may be found, we are called to serve. Jesus will say later, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." And so it was fulfilled that the church took up its mission and began to serve again.